We'll turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Verse 32. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Over in Acts 1, 8, the Lord said, "Ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world." Now, folks, that's God's plan. And that's God's purpose, that we'll be witnesses to the othermost parts of the world. Now, what we have in this passage of Scripture here tonight, we've been looking at Acts. It's been a while since we've been on Sunday night that I preached, and it seemed like a long time, but hadn't been that long ago, I don't guess, but after last week, and it just seemed like a long time. But God's getting Peter ready for the ministry here, and the Gentile to the Gentiles, and to hear the message, and there's going to be a major breakthrough in this study or in this chapter for Peter. God is busy working his plan and his purpose, and God is definitely working in Peter's life. It said, "Now it came to pass as Peter went through the parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, and had been bedridden for many years with, and was paralyzed. And Peter said to Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise, take your bed. And then he arose immediately, and all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." That's a short story about a man being healed in Peter's ministry. Then he gives a story of a woman named Tabitha or Dorcas who was raised from the dead. And so we have two major healings or miracles in Peter's life here that he's given account for here in the Bible. And the Bible says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are sons of God." Well, you and I have a ministry. And that's what I want us to look at tonight. I want us to look at ministry that God has given us. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and see that the miracles that are there. And then I want you to notice the mission that we are on in life. And that's what God is saying here, I believe, in Acts chapter 9, 32 through 43. Now, we are told Peter worked with Aeneas and Dorcas. Now, folks, there's names here. I hope I got them right. There's faces here. And also, I recognize that there are needs here. You see, people have names. People have faces, and people have needs. And you know what? God loves people. He loves people. He's interested in you and I. He's interested in our ministry that he's given us. He's interested in the needs that we have. He's interested in people. And with that, I want you to notice that he's interested in these two people. I'm recalled to tell about blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, God was interested in him. And I think of Zacchaeus. We know the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man to climb the sycamore tree. God was interested in him. We went home to have lunch with him and had a change of heart. And then I think of another person with a face that I've always been interested in, and that was Martha. Martha and Mary, and I thank God that Martha was interested in hosting Jesus at her house. And Jesus said, "Martha, you're cumbered with many things, and Mary is in there listening to Jesus' teaching. And, you know, I think so many times we're like the Marthas in life. Our ministries, we have a lot of things going on. And we need to focus in on the one thing that's needful, hearing God's word. Well, Simon Peter was doing exactly what God had told him here in this passage of Scripture. What Jesus said do, and he had a twofold ministry that I want us to just notice here tonight. One, he had the ministry of edifying the saints. That's our mission, to build up the saints. I think on Sunday night and Wednesday night, we have a pretty good group of people here that are what I'd call saints. The cream of the crop, so many people say. The ones that come to study the word together. And then we all have a ministry not only to build up the saints, but to win the lost to Christ or multiply the sinners. We've always heard that one reaches another one and that one reaches another one and multiplies quickly that way. Well, remember, Jesus had a ministry for Peter. Peter was one of these guys that pretty boastful, and he told the Lord that he would stick by him when all others fell, and God said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. I did that this morning. And Peter, he came back a little bit later on the seashore, and he reassured Peter that he wasn't done with him, and he told him to feed his sheep. Well, I believe this is what we people come to see in chapter 9 here. Peter is telling people about Jesus Christ. He's ministering about Jesus Christ. He's probably telling them how one morning that he got out of the boat and walked on the water. I'd be telling people about that if I was Peter. I'd want them to know that. I don't know if I would tell them the story about denying Christ, but you know, I believe Peter also went on into the story of how he denied Christ and how God brought him back. Now, I want you to notice, you and I have the same kind of ministry. God has called us to be saints. God has called us to edify one another, build up one another, encourage one another. Now, we're pretty good at tearing people down, but we need to encourage and lift up one another in Christ Jesus. And when we get saved, we still need to be edified. We still need to be lifted up. And people need that in their life. We ought to be encouragers in the ministry. You ought to encourage people to keep on walking. There's a lot of people in life that have just failed, you know. I was kind of laughing during that thinking. I wasn't laughing at anybody, but I was just thinking during that song to myself. I do that a lot. Man, I don't know, where did she go? This girl sang that song. That was on my mind all last week, right back there. That was on my mind. I sang it going down the highway. I butchered it, but you did a great job. You ought to hear me when I hit those high notes. Man. But there's nobody in that car but me and the Lord, and he doesn't care. And, you know, I was thinking about when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And this evening, I wanted to talk to one of my brothers, and I called, tried every number I had for him, and finally he said, "Hello?" I said, "Gary? Hello?" I said, "Gary?" He said, "Hello?" I said, "You're hunting, aren't you?" He said, "You caught me again." He says, "Yeah, I'm in a tree hunting." I said, "Well, I'll leave you alone then, but I want you to talk to you tonight, so call me." You know, and we're in a ministry reaching people, and I try to encourage him. He is my brother, and I want to encourage him to get in church. And I'm always encouraging go to church, you know. And it's hard to minister to your own brothers, I guarantee you. But he knows that he ought to be there. He knows he should be in church. And I caught him on Sunday hunting. You ain't supposed to hunt on Sunday, I told him. But anyhow, the Lord works in mysterious ways. But that's our job. I don't criticize him, and I don't put him down. And, you know, he's one of these guys that could be easily discouraged. But we ought to lift one another up in the Lord. And that's our ministry. We all have needs. We all have problems in life. Mine not made like his, but I've got problems too, and you've got problems, and everybody's got problems. We all got problems. And what we need, instead of people criticizing, to minister to one another. And I believe that was Peter's ministry. He was telling people about Jesus Christ. And we have a ministry like that. Just tell them about Jesus Christ. And then when people are saved, I said, we still have problems. Well, they join the church, and what happens? People have needs in the church, don't we? I think a church has to minister also to people's needs. And that's what we're called for, to minister to our people's needs. And you know what I always tell people first? The greatest thing that I can do for a person is to pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. Encourage them through prayer to get their life right with God and back in church, because they're never going to come out of the slump that they're in or the problems they're in if they don't have that spiritual growth. And they're never going to get that spiritual growth if we don't lift them up and encourage them. So we shouldn't speak words that are to them that discourage them or put them down. They're already low in their problems. Just tell them you love them and you're praying for them and lift them up in prayer. And that's about all you can do, because without that lifting them up in prayer and that spiritual growth, there won't be any growth. And then there's also a church. Everybody has physical problems and needs in life, and I believe that's part of the ministry, edifying the saints and helping them out and encouraging them through the tough times. Nancy was just telling me a while ago about someone, or the granddaughter, I guess it is, the house that they lived in burnt down in Stephen F. Austin, and how the people knew her and turned out and just supplied their needs. You know, that's God. That's what we're here for. That's what a church is here for. And I believe that when people get saved like they were getting saved here, well, that's the what a church is to do, minister to people in their needs. Well, can you imagine the excitement of Peter when he come to town, and it's town of Lydda, and Peter came, and he's telling everyone how he used to clean fishing nets. You know, I get tickled when, you know, a good way to start a conversation is just to tell about your life, to get people involved. And I believe Peter was telling about how he was a fisherman one day, and along came Jesus and told him he'd be a fisherman of men. That's an interesting story. It grabs people's lives. And I believe they was listening, and you know, and he told him he could make him a fisher of men, and he became that fisher of men, and people listened to that story. And he told them how God had changed his life, and now he was doing the same thing, telling others about it. And the Bible says that many came to know the Lord. You see? And through our experiences in life and through our ministries in life, folks come to know Jesus Christ. That's why we are here. People need the Lord. Now, that's what's happening here, the ministry that God has given Peter. And then I said miracles. Now, there's two miracles here. One in the realm of the diseased and one in the realm of death. And there is a certain man, the Bible says, Aeneas, who kept his bed beside him. He 8 years he had been paralyzed. He was a quadriplegic, and he had laid there. Somebody had to bring him and help him and take care of him. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, arise, Jesus Christ wants to make you whole. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That must have sounded like music to his ears, folks. And you know what? Jesus Christ did just that. This man arose, took up his bed, and walked. We have a man here that's helpless, and we have a man here, the Bible says, that's hopeless. There is no future for him. He's a quadriplegic. In those days, if you couldn't work, all you had to do was beg. He's helpless in his own self. He cannot help himself. Someone has to carry him. Someone has to take care of him. Every need he has. But Jesus Christ comes along through this man in ministry of Peter, and he makes him whole again. Now, don't you know that's exciting in his life? Man, friends, God is in the healing business. I still believe he's in the healing business. Somebody said, you believe God heals people? Yes, he does. every day. I don't know where, I don't know how, but I know God's still in the healing business. We'll be praying for people to be healed. You see, God's not only in the healing business, he does it, well, let me say, sometimes it's miraculous. Miraculous healing. I've seen some things doctors tell you they won't live, and man, let me tell you something, they're still living. That's a miracle. That's a miraculous healing. I've seen where God uses medicine. You know, I believe God uses medicine, and God uses doctors. And sometimes, you know, but it's always who? It's always Jesus Christ that heals. It's always Jesus Christ that gets the glory. And that's what was in Peter's life. You know, his television, well, I won't get into that. But disease is a picture of sin in the Bible. And it points to a deeper and greater meaning. You see, people are in the grips of sin. They're helpless in their condition like this man was, and he needs to be set free in Jesus Christ. And that's what I wanted you to see in this miracle of this man walking. Where the world is in a grip to sin, folks. There's people all out there in the world, and I see them every day. They're in the grips of sin. They're in the grips of this disease. They're dying in their sin. They don't even realize it. What's more than that, they think they're having fun in it until it completely gets their life to a point that they are, like this man, helpless and hopeless, and they need somebody to turn to. And if you have ministered to people and you have reached out to people, they will remember you. I know. Because through my ministry, I've knocked on a lot of doors, I've talked to a lot of people, and tried to share Jesus with them. I've been run off with shotguns. I've been run off and told not to come back. But in the point of death, in the point of disease, they've always called me and said, "Would you come talk to me?" Folks, it's Jesus Christ who brings you back to their memory. And they know that somewhere along the line, you were trying to tell them what they needed. And God had to get them to a point that they come back. Folks, disease is that picture. And we can be set free by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have been set free. I was just grinning up here like a possum when we were singing that song. Because we have victory in Jesus, folks. We have victory in Christ Jesus. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, this other healing, was this man called Tabitha. Now, she was a good worker. She was, a Martha. She was working, and the Bible says she was full of good works, and the Bible says she got sick and died. Well, you see, people die, don't they? Good people die. Well, Peter heard about it, and he went over to her house, and he said, Let me read what it says. And since Lydia was near to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and he sent two men with him, imploring him not to delay in coming. And Peter arose and went with him in 39. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments this woman had made. Man, she was a worker in their church. No telling what she had done for them. Quilted quilts, whatever, had them on display, sold them to raise money for this and that to help poor. And Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." Man, you know what? She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when they had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Now, let me tell you something about this. Keep in mind, all these miracles point to Jesus Christ. I want you to always remember that. If you are here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're just like Tabitha. You're in a dead condition. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. And what you need is not somebody to give you clean washing and clothes and put on you. You need a resurrection. You need a change of heart. You need what somebody said, heart surgery, a heart transplant. See, Peter gave this woman what she needed. He said, arise and walk in the name of Jesus. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We can rise up out of our dead condition and be alive to Jesus Christ. For only He can save you. That is the ministry and the miracles of the church, folks. God is in the people business. He loves people. He wants us to spread the word to people. I believe that's the reason He's written this book of Acts, to show us just how powerful we can be if we put Him first in our life. Now, ministry, that's what we're here for as a church. Helping people, needs spiritually and physically. We're in the healing business. Folks, we're to tell them that Jesus Christ can lift them up out of their helpless condition and hopeless condition and make them alive again. You see, they're dead in their trespasses and sin. And then not only that, let's look at the mission. Look at 35. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. You see, look down in verse 42. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. The ultimate purpose of Peter's ministry, the ultimate purpose of the miracles here is what? To bring people to the Lord. Whenever God did a miracle, it was to show the power of God and bring people to the Lord, that they might believe, that people might be saved. Folks, that's our purpose. The plan is to tell the same old story, the gospel story, over and over and over. I got tickled last Sunday night. Are you awake? I don't know about you, but I kind of had a headache time it was over with. I didn't go to sleep, though. One little lady back at the back, she said she liked to come out of her seat every time he yelled. And that's all right. I enjoyed Brother Jomar. I enjoyed him. But folks, whether it's people in the Philippines or people in Africa, we have the same story about Jesus Christ. And no matter where we go, that's the mission of the church, is just, that's our purpose, is to tell lost people about the church. I was interested, you know, he's in the same business. It's just in a different area, you know, different areas of the world. But we're all partners together. I like the young man that preached from Rusk here. Well, that's why I didn't preach that Sunday night. We had the meeting here. It just came back to me. We had a young man from Rusk here that preached, and he said, you know, we're not in competition with each other. You know, so many times we think, well, our church has got to do this, our church has got to beat this church. You know, that's not it at all. We're all on the same team. We all have the same plan. We all have the same purpose, and that is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Aeneas eventually what? He died. Tabitha, eventually, she died. She raised from the dead, but she died. As long as we're down here, let me tell you something, we're going to die. Life here is temporary, but in heaven, it's eternal. And we've got to get busy to get people out of here into heaven. That's our purpose. God has called us as a church here at First Baptist to win people to Jesus Christ, to tell people about Jesus Christ. And you know, I was telling our Sunday school class, it doesn't matter how big you are as a church. you've got a plan and a purpose for God. And that is to tell people about Jesus Christ. And you know what? If we sit here and we say, well, we need this and we need that, all we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. God will use us and use you if you will let Him to tell people about Jesus. To heal a man, that's a great work. To raise the dead, that's a great work. But let me tell you something. To win a soul to Christ, that's eternal. That's eternal. And when you win a soul to Christ, you're changing that whole eternity for that person. You see? Down here, you pull them out, put new clothes on them, feed them, it's temporary. But you give them the message of Jesus Christ. My pastor in Kenya called last week. He said, Brother Booney, Brother Byron, he calls me, Brother Byron. He said, this is Maurice. We baptized 39 this morning. Man, my wife said, praise the Lord, that's more than we baptized all year. You see, if it wasn't, and I was thinking, if it wasn't for our support as a church, if it wasn't for the money to build a building, if it wasn't for our missionaries to go over there and to share Jesus, that might have never happened. You know? God doesn't need a big church to do work like that. He just needs people like you and me who will fulfill His plan and fulfill His purpose. I thank God last week you gave $1,200 and something to that missionary. That was not even planned. You just gave. And I don't know how many people we won to Christ, but let me tell you something. You had a part in that. You had a part in that. That's God's plan, and that's God's purpose. You see? That's what we're here for. What are we doing that's eternal? What are we doing that's eternal? What are you doing as saints tonight that's eternal? The ministry, we have a ministry. The miracles, it's all Jesus. And the mission is to help people, bring them out, pull them out of the pits of sin, and tell them about Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this story in Acts chapter 9. We thank You for a man named Peter. Lord, he was just like we are. But he got in on Your will, he got in on Your plan, and he got in on Your mission. And Lord, I pray as a church tonight, that's exactly what we'll do. We'll just keep on working Your plan and working Your purpose in our lives. Lord, one by one, rescuing those people from the depths of sin. One by one, reaching out to this world. Lord, telling others, not dwelling on ourselves, for we're pretty comfortable, Lord, but telling others about You. And Lord, let us always keep that in mind, that it all begins with Jesus Christ. From beginning to end. Lord, I thank You tonight that You blessed us, Lord, with the music that we've heard, with the song, Lord, with Your Spirit. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know You, or someone that needs to make a decision in their life, Lord, I pray that You'll lead them to come. We'll give You the glory for it, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.